All right, we're going to start here on the two dots on Nun Chener Amar Aleph. The Gemara here is discussing the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said that if she has Alikva V'al Rosh Godah Tmeya, she sees the damim on her heel or on her big toe, then she is Tmeya. Because those are places or locations where we assume that the damim that are found on those areas came from the Makom Erva. Where it says, Bishloma Akiva, when it comes to her heel, Avid Nagabo to Makom. There's a possibility that it came into contact with the Makom Erva. Meaning, depending how she sat cross-legged, she bent down, she was on her knees, there are ways where the ankle would come to contact with the Makom Erva. Hello, Rosh Kodna, my daimo. The big toe, that's not something that generally comes into contact with the Beit Erva. So why is there damim on the big toe? B'chitem azimnin denoga be'akeva. So what are you going to say? That sometimes it's derivative contact. It doesn't directly contact the Makom Erva, but the akev, the heel touches the Makom Erva, and then the big toe touches the Ekev. Tumah says, Umi mechazkinan tumah mimakom lemakom. Since when do we assume that tumah moves from location to location? Vatanyo, we have a braita. Haitala makah betzavara. She had some sort of wound on her neck. Shetuchah litolot tola. Then if she could suspect that the damim that she finds now on her clothing or on her body came from a wound that was on her neck, then that's a reasonable assumption. And we can be toleh on that. On the other hand, al tefa, if she has a wound on her shoulder, she'eno yachod litlot, eino tola. Because there, it's not likely that the damim on her shoulder somehow came into the place or locations down below, or areas that would simulate Beit Erva. Ve'ein omrim. And this is the main proof from this braita, which is, and b'shem yadan netalato, she took it in her hand, ve'viato l'sham. Who knows, maybe her hand swiped across her shoulder, or somehow she came into contact with her shoulder and that moved the damim to somewhere else, that we don't say. So we don't say that there's this concept of transference of tumah in cases where we don't have direct contact between the makom that has the damim and the location of the dam right now. So we're not going to assume here that somehow the big toe got the blood from the akif. Tosafot asks your question. If you look at Tosafot, he says, "V'kasha de ma'iporach devade lahakel lo mechazkinan, aval hachmir ki hocha machmirin." Exactly what you're asking, Shul. How do you know that the proof from the braita, which we just brought, which is a case lahakel, where we say we're not going to talk about derivative contact when it's lahakel? How do you know that means when it's the chumrah, we're also not going to say that there's no derivative contact? V'yesh lomar kim de k'tamim de rabbanan. Since k'tamim only adin de rabbanan, dim ita de talina lachmir lahakel nami hayalan litlot bedavar haragil k'tzat. Something that's normal, we would assume that the chachamim in that situation, since only adin de rabbanan, they would go both lahachmir and lahakel. Aval inya mimakom lakon she'en rigilot kolkach, but it's something that doesn't happen on a regular frequency, and we'll see there are instances coming up like that. Afilu b'k'tamim shonin l'chumra v'lo lahakel. Tosafot suggests over here that we have to be mechaleik between things that are considered to be normal, things that you can assume would happen or are possible to transpire. And in those situations, we are going to say both lahachmir and lahakel. On the other hand, if it's something that's unusual, something that's extraordinary, then we'd only say lahachmir and not lahakel. But exactly your question, Tosafot says, because k'tamim are derabanan, we shouldn't have such a differentiation between the chumra and the kula. Gemara's answer is, al shaini rosh goda, the bahadi de pasa, avid de mitrame. So there's a case because her big toe passes underneath her makom erva. As she walks, it does cross under makom erva, and therefore, we can have a possibility of the damim reaching her toe directly. So Gemara says, velo mechazkina tumi makom la makom. Is that really true? That which you just brought from the breita, are you so certain that that's right, that we are not machzik mi makom no makom? Mer says, Vatanya, we have a breita that suggests otherwise, which is that the breita says, Nimtzeit al kishrei etzbuteha, if she finds it on her fingers, meaning the kishrei etzbuteha, on her knuckles, on her joints of her fingers, tmeya mipnei she'adayim askoniotem, because the hands move around. And in the hands moving around, that allows her to come into contact. My taima, la mishum damrinan batka b'chad yada. Don't we say because she was doing the check with one hand, v'naga b'idach yada, and it touched the other hand. Now, as Rashi points out over here, the kishreds butar hainu agaveyad. They're on the back of the hand. They're not on the palm of the hand, but the back of the hand. So in terms of contact or damim coming out to the back of the hand, when we're doing a bedikah, that's the palm of the hand that's used in the bedikah. So the assumption that we're going to somehow get a damim on her back of her hand through bedikah
seems implausible, but rather it
seems to be that it's coming through derivative contact. Whereas it says, lo, shani yada, dekula avida denaga. It's not the case. The case is that even when she does a check that involves really the palm of her hand, where you're using the inside of the hand, nevertheless, the hand moves around enough that contact on either side of the hand is considered to be normal contact and not something that is extraordinary that we would expect her to have damim even on the back of her hand when she checked. And therefore, we're assigning it to the hand that's doing the bedikah and not through derivative contact with the other hand. So this was in the Mishnah that we said that when it comes to her calf, thigh, her feet, then it depends where on the location. If it's internally, then we would assume that it came from the makom erva. If it's on the external side, we don't. It says mibifnim ad hecha. What is considered to be until mibifnim? Amre debe rabbi yanai ad makom chabak. Until the point of chovek means to hug. Rashi over here says safek. Not sure what it means. Uchumedumali shu kafatza yerech vashok shukurim yari. It is somewhere along the connection between the thigh and the calf. Bekamar ad makom shumatchil karoy pnim. Until that begins, that's called pnim. Chavak hi metichata gidim, the sinews that run shechovkim ayerek vashok, that connect or wrap around the calf and the thigh, yachad samuch loto kafet, around that joint. So I'm assuming that he means somewhere around the knee, internally around the knee. So that'll be the point until which we would assume that it came from the makom erva, that's considered to be the bifnim, the internal side of it. Tosafot, on the other hand, brings from the oruch, perush, shno alim, anfaliot, sheish balulaot. When you put on, anfaliot are really slippers, but over here, I assume they mean like equivalent of the Roman sandals. Sheish balulaot that have hooks in them. Umakom chibur lulaot kare chavak. And the place where they're tied, that's called chabak. So that's a possibility. So the place where those hooks are that allow you to tie the sandal, that's what's considered to be bifnim. V'od perish, perish acher. And he's, the Tosfot says that the Orach brought another possibility. Should place your kofefa shok aliyerech. Basically, if you kneel down and the calf touches the thigh, mashimit kaseh basar eldei kifata shok, that which is now covered by the bending of the calf onto the thigh, al yerek shechovkim zedzeh kari makom chavak. That's the makom chavak, considered to be the internal side, is until the point that if you fold your leg, where the thigh would sit on top of the calf, until that point of where they contact each other, that's considered to be the internal side. So you have three possibilities of what the internal side is over here. Either until the point where, if you folded the calf on the thigh, that's the joint, you know, where the skin actually touches. The other possibility brought by the Oruch is the place where the hooks from the shoes or sandalim that they wear, that they tied, those hooks, they reach around your foot or your leg, and until they reach, the rest is done by string, leather strings that tie it, but the hooks themselves reach only a certain amount around the leg, and that's considered to be the bifnim. Or, as Rashi points out, it's a makom chavak, is the connection where the sinews are between the calf and the thigh, that area where they cover on the internal side of the leg, that's considered to be the internal side of the leg. So we're trying to understand, which is, when you look on the inside of the leg, how far is considered inside till you move to the outside. And so here you have three definitions of what's classified as to be the inside. Siyibadahu, makom chavak kilifnim el chaluchutz. The actual location where we said this chavak exists, is that considered to be on the internal side or the external side? Tashma, detani rav katina, ad makom chavak v'chagvatzamo kilifnim. That location itself is considered to be internal or towards the inside. He wrote it explicitly in the statement, which is Amar Debe Rabbi Yanai, Amakom Chavak, Chavak Atzmo Kelifnim, meaning that when Rabbi Yanai told us what is considered to be Bifnim, in there he also defined that the placement or the Chavak itself is also classified as being the internal side of the leg. So by Rabbi Yirmiya, Kishir Mahu, Kishura Mahu, Tipim Tipim Mahu, mahu. So these are all different types of distributions of damim on her leg. Kishir is like a bracelet. So if it wraps around like a bracelet, kishura means that's in a line, like as if you would have said, like in a straight line. Tipim, tipim, it's driplets. or the rochav yerecha, or goes across the width of her leg. What's the din in all these cases? All these cases are a little strange, because the normal way you'd expect the damim to come, if we came out of the ervah and be on her leg, is that it would be going lengthwise of the leg, dripping down the leg, and it would form a line in that direction. All of these, for some, are either tipim tipim, little drops, or rochav, which is against what would have been the natural course of the damim to flow. All of these are something that's a little unusual. So what do we do with that? So tashma, al b'sara, safek tamei, safek tohor tamei. Saw that in the braita before, that when it comes to damim that's found on her flesh, on her skin, then if it's a safek, whether it's tamei or tohor, tamei. Al b'sara, my love, ki hai gavna. When we say al b'sara, what are we talking about? Isn't it like what we're describing over here? It says, lo, dilma, the ovid kiritsua. Maybe over there it's a kiritsua, which is the way you would expect the damim to be. The orach hayerech, along the length of the leg, when it falls out and it drips out, you would expect it to drip down the leg. It doesn't mean the damim don't have to be distributed like the way that we're positing in the questions. Rather, it can just be the normal way. And that's what the Mishnah was talking about. So, hayi itata, dishkachla dama bimashtita. So, a woman found damim. Rashi explains here that the mashtita is a masechet, which is really a screen. But the screen here is the weaving screen. And so, she found on the shtita is from the word sheti. She found it on the strings that are going across the screen, or the weaving screen. So she found damim, she was working, she was weaving, and all of a sudden she finds damim on the strings themselves. Ata le kamay de Rabbi Yana, yamarla, tezel v'tete. Go ahead, go bring the screen over here, and demonstrate for me how you were weaving until this point in time. Where it says, v'hata anyo. We had a brayta, this we did very early in the Masechta. Ein shonim b'taharot. We don't ask someone to repeat what they had done before when it comes to taharot. We say, well, we're not sure if when he put on the talit, he touched the sherets or he didn't touch the sherets. We don't say to him, there was a suggestion there, that maybe he should do it like he did before. Repeat what he did before. And that's what the Gemara says about it. Ein shonim b'taharot. We don't do a repeat because we're not sure if it was exactly the same way as it was before. You can't do an instant replay. Instant replay, when you try to recreate or re-simulate what happened, it's never going to be exactly the same. So how come Rabbi Yana over here is asking her to simulate what she did before? So Mar says, Ki Amrinan ain't shonim the kula, aval the chumra shonim. When we say we don't do a repeat, we don't try to have an instant replay, that's only in a case when it's going to be the kula. Because there we don't say, okay, now we see that he didn't do it. But over here where it's going to turn out to be the chumra, if we can see that when she wove, she moved her hands or the strings near her makoma erva or under the makoma erva, then we will be toled, the damim that are found on the string now, to her process of weaving. One interesting thing is, Tosafot over here points out, kishura, if it's in a row, what does that mean, kishura? So meri, dahinu tipim tipim. That means, kishura means like triplets. So then what about the fact that we're going to ask about tipim tipim directly? So he says there's a difference that one is on the beged, and this is talking about absara. One is when she finds on her skin itself a shura, she finds like a droplets down her leg, and the other one is tipin tipin, is where she actually finds it on her beged, not on her leg itself. So we read the questions as being all on her body. But the way the Re posits the questions, that the questions are multifaceted. They're both about damim that's found on her leg, as well as damim that is found on her beged. So now we had the case in the Mishnah, which is, Aita poshtatato, if she was taking off beged at night and putting it back on or moving it around, then we assume that damim, no matter where it's found, is considered to be tmeah, because there's always a possibility that the beged touched the makom erva. So Tanya, Amar Rav Elazar Rabbi Yosi, Dara Zehu Reiti Bi'ir Romi Li'isur. I paskind, based on this statement in the Mishnah, that the aloch is that it's asur. If she has a sighting of damim on the chaluk in this case, then it would be considered to be tmeyah. Kshibati itzel chachamim shebedarom. When I came to those chachamim in the Rome, Amar Li, Yafeh Horeita. You paskind properly, and that's exactly what we saw in our Mishnah in this case. So Tan Rabbanan, Aruka Shalavsha Chaluka Shel Ktsara. You have a tall woman who puts on the tunic of a short woman. Uktsara, or a short woman, Shalavsha Chaluka Shel Aruka. That wore a tunic of a tall woman. Imagia Keneged Beta Tofar Shel Aruka. If the damim, or the stain that we find, is possibly around the Makom Erva of the taller one, Shtehem Tmeot, then they're both considered to be Tmeot. Vim Lav, if that's not the case, Aruka Teora, then the taller woman is Teora, Uktsara Tmeya, and the shorter woman is Tmeya. So if it's located somewhere on the Beged, if the taller woman puts on the Beged, and where the stain is found on the Beged is above her waistline, then there's no reason to believe that the damim came from the taller woman. The shorter woman, that's a possibility that came from a kumavera, because for her, it's below her waistline. So only if the damim are found on the beged somewhere where it's below the waistline, or a position where the taller woman, we could assume that it came from a makom erva, then they're both tameim. On the other hand, if we find a location which is different for the taller woman than the shorter woman, then we will also distinguish between the women. The taller woman would be teorah, and the shorter woman would be tmeah. Tanya idoch, we have another case like this. Badka chaluka. She checked her chaluk, v'yishel tiwa lechaverta. And then she lends it out to her friend. So first she has a beged, she checks it, she thinks it's totally clean, and then she lends it out to her friend. He, tohura, v'chaverta, tolaba. Now at the end, they end up finding a stain on it. So she, the first woman, says, "I look, I checked. Of course it's fine, I checked this already. V'chaverta, tolaba." Her friend says, "Wait, the stain on here is from the woman before me." Well, the woman before her checked. That's not a problem, because she says, "I don't trust her checking. She checked for herself. I never saw her check. She missed it when she checked." So each woman has an ability to say it was the other woman's fault, and they'll both be torim. Amar Rav Sheshet, uli'inyan dino, v'alocha tnan. This is what we're going to say. Aval li'inyan tuma, hi torah, v'chaverta tmeya. That she is torah, but her friend is tmeya. For the cleaning of the ketem, each one of them can blame the other one. So to pay for the dry cleaning, or to pay for the laundering of the beged, each one of them can say it's the other person's fault. But when it comes to the actual tumah, then we're going to say that the second woman is tmeah, and the first woman is tehora. So where it says, Maishna mehadatanya, how is this different than what we saw in the Braita? Shtei nashim shnitasku betzipor achad. There were two women who worked with a single bird. They were shechting it, they were cleaning it, whatever it was. They came in contact with a bird which has damim on it. Vein bo el kasela. The bird itself only has a sela worth of blood in it. Benimsa kasela zu v'kasela zu. And each one of the women here now has a stain the size of a sela on her beged. So there we say shtehen tmeot. They're both tmeot. So how come in our case we're willing to distinguish between the women and say one woman is tehora and one woman is tmeah? Yet, in the case that we're bringing the Braita here, we're saying that they're both Tmein. So how can we distinguish between them? It says, that's easy to distinguish. Shani Hotam Deika Selayatera. Over there, there's overwhelming evidence that there's a problem. We have only a sela worth of blood that we can be tola in the bird, and you have women with each with a sela. So it's clear one of them is Tmeya. Now, once one of them is Tmeya, how do you can't make one of them Tmeya. So you have to make both of them Tmein. So because of one of the women, both of them will end up being Tmeim. In our case, the first woman did a bedika. When she's done a bedika, we have a reason to believe or to say that we can separate between the din of the second woman and the din of the first woman. The first woman who checked is Torah. The second woman who didn't check, she's going to be Tmeya. So there'll be a difference. And that's what it means of Sheshet, the Inyan Dina. I think, David, that was your question, that the Inyan Choshen Mishpat, they can both be Toleh Besheni. They can both say that the other one's problem, and therefore they don't have to pay for the cleaning. But on the other hand, when it comes to Tumah and Tahara, we're going to say the first one checked, and checking makes a difference, so she's Torah. The second one who didn't check, she is the one that's going to have to assume the Tumah here, because really the evidence points to her as being the source of the Damim. Tarabanan, Lavsha Shlosha Chalukot Abdukim La. She wears three layers of clothing, and each one of the pieces of clothing was checked. Im yachol litlot, tola afilu bitachton. If she has a reason to believe that the Damim came from external variable, then she can say that even if the damim is found on the internal beged, the beged closest to her body. If she has no reason to believe that there was an external reason for the damim to be here, even if it's the outer beged, the only beged that has damim on is the outer beged, still there, we say that she is tmeah. Ketzad, what's the case here? Avra b'shuk shel tabachim, she went through the butcher's shuk, tola afilu b'tachton. If she finds damim, no matter which of the begedim she finds it, even the most internal beged, still, we assume that it came from external variables. It came from the damim, from the butchers. Lo avra b'shuk shel tabachim. On the other hand, if she didn't go through the butcher shuk, then afel yon, even if she finds a stain on the outer beged, eino tola, because she has no reason. There's no excuse for that damim to be there. Therefore, we got to assume that it came from something internal. All right, Mishnah. V'tola b'chol davar shi yuchola litlot. she can be tola. Over here means she can assume that damim came here from whatever reason. If she has another reason why there should be damim here, we can assume that that's the case of how it got here. Shachata beima chaya va'of. She did shchita. She was near shchita. Nitaska b'tamim. She was involved in cleaning stains or looking at stains. Oh, she has shvab b'tzaros queen behen. Or not only if she's engaged in these activities, but even if she's sitting next to someone else who's engaged in these activities, she can blame it on that, the stain from there. Haragama kolet, if she killed a louse, harizetolaba, she can assume that the damim that's on her beg is from the blood of that louse. Adkamo, tolam, how big can the stain be that will still assume that it came from the louse? Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonos omer, ad kigris shopul, to the size of a beans. Afa pi shelo harga. Even though she did not kill it. So that we'll come back to, the Gemara will explain this, but there's obviously a machloket here whether she actually has to kill the louse, like the Tanakhama says, in order for her to be tolaba, or can we make an assumption that even if she didn't kill it, because there are lice in this area, then we can assign it to the louse. If she has a son or a husband who has a wound that could have caused the damim to be on her, she can blame it on them. Mieshba makah. If she herself has a wound, even if the wound has already begun to heal, the blood's coagulated, it's scabbed over, if there's a possibility that it could have reopened, and have some blood come out of it, she can assign the damim to that, or use that as the excuse to not be a nida. She came before Rabbi Akiva, Amra lo ra'iti ketem, I saw a stain on my clothing, Amra la, shema makah hayta bech. Maybe you have a wound on your body. Amar lo, hey, I do. But the problem is, v'chaita, it already healed. So Amar lo, Hashem yichola ligaleya, ulutzi dam. Even though it's begun the process of healing, maybe it could have reopened and have blood exit. Amar lo, hey, she said, yeah, that could be possible. V'tara Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says, your Torah, because we can blame it or we can be toleh it on that wound. Ra'at talmidav mistaklim zebaze. He saw his students looking in disbelief at what Rabbi Akiva just did. Amalehem, ma davar kashe b'nechem? Why is this so difficult for you to understand? Shelo amru chachamim adavar lachmir lo lakel. The chachamim talk about ketamim. They didn't just talk about lachmir, but also lakel. Shenemar v'isha ki diya zava, dam yeh zova bibsara. Dam v'lo ketem. The Torah only answers in terms of nida, dam. Dam itself, a flow, actual damim, blood that you see. It has nothing to do with a ketem. Ketem is all a din dirabanan. And since ketem is a din dirabanan, we're not going to be machmir in these cases where we have a reason to believe that it could have come from something else. Eid, shunatun tacharakar. We have a bdika cloth that's underneath the pillow. V'nimtzalav damagul. If she finds on it a circular stain of blood, tahor. Mashoch, on the other hand, if it's a stain that is streaked across or stretched across the bdika cloth, then tamei, because that's the way. If you did a check with an aid, you would expect, if she used the aid to wipe, you would expect the damim that are on the aid to be streaked across it and not to simply be in a perfect circle. Divir v'lazer v'rabit tzadok. Okay, now the Gemara goes, Tanina l'hadutan rabbanan. Our Mishnah corroborates what we see in another place in the Braita. Maseh v'tala Rabbi Meir b'kilor. There was a case where Rabbi Meir, there was some damim there, and he tied it to a kilor. A kilor is a kilurium. Could be kilor is a, saw some places translated as a bandage, other places translated as being some sort of eye salve or eye makeup, but it was red in color. And since it was red in color, Rabbi Meir was tola. The woman had touched it, was involved with this kilor, and therefore he said that the damim that she saw, or that was on her beged, did not come from her, but rather from this kilor. V'rebi tola b'sraf shikma, with the sap of a sycamore, which is red, he assumed that the reason that the woman's clothing was red because of the sap and not because of dam nida. Oshi yeshva. Yeshva in lo yeshva lo. Sounds like only if she sat down. But if she didn't sit down, she just passed by, that wouldn't be sufficient. Tanina laha de tan rabbanan. Our Mishnah corroborates what we see in a braita. Avra b'shuk shel tabachim. Safek nitazaleh, safek lo nitazaleh. She walked through the butcher shuk, and we're not certain as to whether blood splashed on her or not. Tola. Safek avra, safek lo avra, tmeya. If it's a safek whether she ever went into the butcher shuk, there we do not give her the benefit of the doubt. So again, this idea of yeshva means that she has to be in the position where there was a possibility of the damim coming on her. It doesn't have to be absolute that she had damim come on her, but she has to we have to know verifiably that she was in that location. Once we know that she was in the location, then the safek is fine. But if we have a safek about whether she was ever in the location, then we're not going to be tola with that. Harga ma'akolet, if she killed a louse, harga in, lo harga lo. It's only if she killed a louse do we assume that the damim on her beggar came from a louse. Otherwise not. Matnitan mani, who's the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Tanya, harga tola. Lo harga, eno tola, divi Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. V'chachamim omrim, ben kach ben kach tola. That's what we saw on the line in our Mishnah, that even if she didn't kill a louse, she can be tola on that louse. Tam Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, lidvarai en keitz, o lidivrei chavirai en sof. That my words have no end, and my friend's words have no end either. So now why explain? Lidivarai en keitz, according to what I'm saying, it's unmanageable, because she'en l'chayisha she'tehura l'ba'ala. You'll never find a woman who can become Torah to Bala, she'en l'cha kol mita u'mita, she'en ba kama tipei dam, ma'kolet. That there is no bed that doesn't have some drips of blood on it. That means whether it's the man's bed, the woman's bed, lice are common. And since lice are common, it's also common to have some sort of blood stains. And the way that I'm setting it up is that only in an instance where we know for certain that you killed the louse, you can be toleh on the fact that the damim there is comes from the louse. That means that any time you see any blood stain, we're automatically assumed that the woman's a nida. And since it's impossible to have any bed that doesn't have a stain on it, we're never going to have a woman who is Torah le'bala. Udivrei chavirai ein sof, she'en lecha isha she'ena Torah le'bala. That we're never going to find a woman who's not Torah le'bala. She'll never become Tumeah. She'en lecha kol sadin v'sadin she'en ba kamei tipei dam. There's no sheet that doesn't have spots of blood on it. But the way the Chachamim are saying, it doesn't matter whether she killed a louse or didn't kill a louse, we're automatically going to assume that it belongs to a louse. That means the woman is never going to become Tmeah through a Ketem, because any Ketem she sees, we're just going to assume that that was from a louse and not from her. So what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is pointing out is that both of their positions are untenable. One is because, according to his position, the woman would always be Tmeah, and according to the position of the Chachamim, the woman would always be Torah. Aval nirin divrei Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus midivarai umidivrehem. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus' position, which is in our Mishnah, his position is better than both of ours. Shaya omer ad kama hi tola ad kegris shopul. That she's only tola up to the size of a bean. Based on that, there's a limitation to how much we're going to assign or say any ketem belongs to a louse. It has to make sense that it fits the size of a louse, and therefore we'll assign it to them even when there's no harga. But at least there's a limitation on the size of damim that we're going to assign to a louse. And now we have in our girsel dvarav anu modim. According to the gra, the uch dvarav anu morim, we paskin like him that we agree with that position. So Rabbi Chanina ben Tignus, based on this, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, will he and the chachamim agree to that in the end? Because that's the only tenable solution. Rabbi Chanina ben Tignus adds a qualification that makes it plausible that whatever I or the Chachamim are saying could work out. Because without Rabbi Chanina ben Tignus' qualification, whatever we have makes no sense. Rabbanan damrei tola. According to Rabbanan who say tola, ad kama. Well, how much can you be tola? I mean, they don't define it. So if they don't define it, what is the size that you could actually go to? So Menachem Yitzchak tola be pishpish vad keturmus. That you can be tola in a, so the definition being a bed bug, vad keturmus to the size of a lupine. You know, that it's pretty big size, and you can be tolaed in this pishpesh. Turn about on pishpesh zeh, this bed buck, arko kerech bo, equal in its length and its width, v'ta'amo kerecho, and its taste is similar to its smell. Brit kruta lo. There is a covenant that Hashem gave to it, meaning as part of the creation of this pishpesh, Hashem agreed that this would be the properties of this pishpesh. Shekol hamololo meriach bo. That anybody who rolls it or smushes it will smell the awful smell. Our kokorach bo, l'inyan k'tamim. So why does it make a difference that its length and its width are equal? Well, that makes a difference for k'tamim. Because in stains, you would have to, if you assume that it came from pishpesh, you would have to find a circular or somewhat even distribution of the stain if it was really a bedbug that was smushed on here. Tamo k'recho, what's the nafkamina that its taste is similar to its smell? L'inyan truma, makes a difference for truma, d'tznan. Osh ta'am ta'am pishpesh bepiv. Again, this is we're catching like a Mishnah in the middle. This is not the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah there is discussing if a person becomes tamei or finds out there's something tamei in there, should he spit out the truma or not spit out the truma? So over here, then we get to the point. If he has in his mouth a taste of pishpesh, pishpesh is a sheretz, something that's tamei, something that he cannot consume, Then Arizei float. He should spit it out. Mena yoda. How does he know that he's tasting a pishpesh? It's a non-kosher item. It's a sheretz. How did he ever know? He never ate it before. So how does he know what it tastes like? So tamo kirecho. The answer is that its taste is like its smell. So he'd smell this before that he would know what it would taste like. Vekati mena yoda. So still, how does he know? How do you know that he knows this? Because brit kruto la shakola malulo meriach bo. The covenant that anybody who touches it or crushes it will smell it and then will have this smell. So therefore, by definition, if he crushed it, he would know what the smell is. And when he knows, if he knows what the smell is, he also know what the taste is. Okay. Amar Rav Ashi, ir sheish b'chazirim, a city which has pigs in it, ain choshishim l'ktamim. We don't worry about ktamim anymore because the pigs eat all sorts of shkatzim, rimasim. They are involved, the trash heaps, and they end up spreading blood all over the place. So any ketem, you can be tole in the pigs. Renachum bar Yitzchak, v'ha didokeret, it's the name of a city, ki'ir sheish b'chazirim dami, the equivalent of a city that has pigs in it. Now the city of Dokeret was a city of butchers, and therefore it was the equivalent of having a city of pigs, or pigs in the city, because there were so many butchers, you could always assign the blame for any stain to the fact that she passed by a butcher or the butcher shops because there were so many of them in this city. Very good. So David, your question is a very good question. And Tosafot asks it right away. He says, hey, look at Tosafot. He says, Omer Rashbam, the afilu yoter migris. Over here, what's different than this and this statement, the Chazirim here versus the Mishnah? The Mishnah says you can be Tola and whatever it is. Well, the Mishnah says Tola up to the size of a kegris. This Tola over here can be even bigger than the size of a kegris. Number one. Vafilu mina chagur lamata. And this is even if she finds the stain on the beged below the waistline. Vafilu no daska. And here it's even a case where she didn't get involved with them. Bein la maka. And she has no wounds. Sheish lali galea olutzi dam. So Rishbam says that even if all the odds are stacked against you here, the city itself makes it that we can assume that this stain came from something exogenous and not from the woman herself. So that's the answer to the question why this is even more than our Mishnah. What's interesting here is with the Miyu Omeri, that today, De'ein lismoch alzeh achshav lahakel. Today we do not rely on this to be the kula, kishemotza'ak tamim b'makom shen rigilot ligabahen chazirin. It's a place where pigs don't usually rub up against a woman, or they would not come into contact with. V'chein minhag d'lo talinan. Our minhag is that we're not tole. The Re concludes, Miyu b'makom shesh raglaim ledavar, when there's at least circumstantial evidence, yesh l'tol b'chazirin, kiyotz ben talinan. Kedamar shas. We are tole, but you gotta have a real reason to be tole. You can't just make things up or just assume that tole. The other interesting thing is, Tosafot points out that with regards to lice, if a woman kills multiple lice, then she can be tola on multiple grisin. Right? Even though one louse is equal to a gris, we don't say if she kills multiple, there's only one gris. She gets a gris per louse that she kills. Amar of Huna, ki gris, eno tola, pakuk me gris tola. When she reaches a gris, it's not good enough. It has to be below a gris in order to be tola. Rav Chistamar, ki gris tola, yetem gris eno tola. Even a gris itself, she can be tola. Above a gris, she cannot. Lema ba'ad bad bichlal kamiflegay. It sounds like here that they're arguing about when you give a measurement, the item that you're measuring, does it mean until that item or it means including that item? The Rav Huna savar ad velo ad bichlal. Rav Huna says when I say kegris, it means up to a gris, not including a gris. Rav Chista amar ad bad bichlal. When I say kegris, it means up to a gris, including a gris. From the Rav Huna, ika ad ve'ad bichlal, v'ika ad velo ad bichlal. We have both of them. V'ha'chadu chumra, v'ha'chadu chumra. And in every situation, we're going to go to Chumrah, which is what we learned in other Masechtot, in Chulin. We always go to Chumrah. Whether it's Adva, Adbechla, if it's Adva, Adbechla, we're going to Chumrah. Rav Chista, Malachah, Ba'am, Amrina, Lachad, Chumrah, Amrinan, Kulukulo, Lo, Amrinan. We go to Chumrah, not Lukula. V'hocha, the Rabbi Yibau. But over here, we're going to hold like Rabbi Yibau, Damar Yibau, Koshire, Chamim, Lachmir, Chutz, Mikarish, Yokhtamim, Shadah, Hakel. That we have that exception. Rabbi Yibau has a statement that when it comes to the Kegris, we go to the Tzad Kula. So therefore, Rav Chista says this is an exception to the rule of going to Chumrah when it comes to Advad Bechlal. And there, Rav Chista says that Egris itself is included in the tzad of being Tola. Ikedamri la hashmaita dababi nafsha. Some people make it or make the statement as an independent machloket, not connected to our Mishnah, which is Vunamar Kegris, Kegris, Migris, Rav Chista Amar Kegris, Pachot Migris. That Egris itself, according to Rav Huna, is above, and Rav Chista says Egris is below. and they argue in this concept of Adva Bichla, whether we go to Chumrah or not. Everybody agrees we go to Chumrah, but it's a question in this instance, do we go to Chumrah? In this instance where we have a possibility that we have Rabbi Abo's statement that this is an exception to the rule, until we subscribe to that position of Rabbi Abo, that this is an exception to the rule or not. Okay, we'll stop over here.